Good morning, City Lats. We are on week two of demystifying the spiritual gifts, and we've got Bruce and Danae with us. And they've been married for how long?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
And you've got a little baby, Freya, who's already a little prophet.
Nearly 7 months.
So nearly 7 months. Wow.
Perfect numbers.
Seven.
Completion. It's about time for another. Well,
Danae wants seven kids.
seven kids.
Yeah.
All born on the seven.
I want a seven-figure salary.
Yeah, you're working in the wrong place. I just thought we're going to just have just different conversations over the next few weeks with Bruce and I and others, and those who walk in different giftings and just seeing God move in and through their lives. But I want to start with just this scripture because I think it's just a good place to start. And if we have scripture, then our meeting is official. Okay. This is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. And I think if I look at Bruce and Danae, they've been used prophetically in different ways in the church, outside the church. And so I just thought it would be a great opportunity to chat to them. I don't know where I'm looking. I'm chatting to there and to you guys. So I'm going to start with Danae. Danae is American. And which is great to have different accents here. But do you want to just quickly just share about your church background, what you grew up in, and then also kind of moving more into understanding the Spirit of God, the gifts of God, etc.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in an American church, like Dan mentioned, which was pretty conservative. They did teach lightly on the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't really put those into action.
Yeah.
So it was much more, this is what the Bible says, but we never really got to see it practiced.
Yeah.
I remember when the first time I heard my mom speak in tongues, I think I was 12 years old, and I was like, what is happening? Like,
yeah.
Mom, what are you doing? This is really weird and embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then obviously I asked her and she told me what it was, but like that was my first time ever experiencing the gift of tongues because it just wasn't really practiced.
Yeah.
And then I think when I was around 19 or 20, I was kind of wanting more of the Holy Spirit. I had listened to some sermons, I had read some books, and I was really desiring more of God.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really until I moved to Dubai and started coming to City Lights and met this guy as well. This guy had a big role to play.
Yeah. Not as big, you know.
We call him Holy Spirit Bruce.
Holy Spirit Bruce. Did I really start getting more opened to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and them actually getting activated in my life and me pursuing them?
Yeah. So, I mean, that journey, how do you think that started for you? Was it like a picture, a word, or where do you feel like that thing started to stir, just specifically around the prophetic?
Around the prophetic, I think I'd always, growing up, I think I'd always like heard from God in some way, shape, or form. But it was more so in my 20s where I actually started listening and learning about the prophetic. I think in my home church back in the US, it was very much prophetic was just scripture.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything but scripture. Where coming to City Lights, I was able to see that prophetic was a lot more than just God bringing up scripture to mind.
Yeah.
And so through that, I guess I just started asking God for more. And as I asked, God gave.
Yeah.
And it was definitely scary at first to step out. Not scary in the sense that the prophetic was scary, but just the stepping out and sharing prophetic with people when you have a prophetic word.
Yeah.
I think it was just, I felt when I first gave my prophetic word to someone, I just felt like, wow, this is amazing. Like seeing God speak to someone through me really just felt like, I don't know, just something came alive in me through that. Just doing God's, I mean, for lack of a better word, God's work.
Yeah. And you know when you get a little tear after you give them the word, then it's,
if there's tears, you've done a good job.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So Bruce, I've known you for many years. To read that there because I wrote it.
Okay. How many then is the test?
Ah, sheesh. 2003, around there. So 16, 17 years maybe. Something like that.
Yeah.
Bruce is part of my community group. We were all like the under 21s. I was leading it. Bruce is my second in charge.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, 21s, eh?
Yeah. I think you came to my 21st, eh?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Did obviously it? Wasn't that memorable. It was memorable to me, clearly. But what I have seen, Bruce, with you is, I think even from early of coming back to God, obviously, I know you grew up in church, which you may speak about, but it came quite naturally to you, prophetic and sharing prophetic. I know you've done different prophetic teams even at the previous church rep, but can you just talk, just share your journey of kind of walking into the prophetic, hearing the voice of God, how God speaks to you, how he speaks to you about others, etc.?
Sure. So, like Dan mentioned, I have been around church pretty much my whole life. But the prophetic really started growing inside of me when I made the decision to kind of open myself up more to the Holy Spirit. And I actually asked him to kind of, to really start working in my life. I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman in a lot of ways. He gives us the opportunity to grow closer to him and to allow him to use us more and allow him more into our lives. And this is the journey that all of us are on for our whole lives, is the journey of growing closer to God in our relationship and learning his voice more and that kind of stuff. But for many years, the Holy Spirit was something that was preached about in church, but it was never really something that I had ever desired, you know, desired the Holy Spirit, desired gifts of the Spirit. And I remember specifically, it was actually my uncle, Malcolm. He prayed for me in the front of in front of church one morning. It was at Bryanston. I almost said City Lights Bryanston. That's a New Covenant Church, Bryanston. And he prayed that, you know, the Holy Spirit would fill me up. And from that moment, I really started to experience God in a whole new way.
Yeah.
It was me surrendering more of myself to God. I think at salvation you give yourself to God, but God gives us the opportunity and the choice to allow more of ourselves to be given over to him. I heard someone once say, yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you?
Yeah, that's good.
And that phrase has kind of stuck with me for years, because it really, like, it shows you that the Holy Spirit wants to use us, but it's really a choice that we get to make of how much and how close and how much faith are we actually putting in the Holy Spirit to do those things. So for me, that's where it really started. And prophecy was just something that, it was just a natural kind of progression for me. It was something that I'd grown up seeing in different churches, especially in Bryanston. And so it was normal.
Yeah.
It was a normal thing. I didn't grow up in a different church environment like Danae did, where you didn't see that a lot. So it was just like, oh yeah, totally. People hear God's voice. Like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And so it's always been like that for me. It's never been this thus saith the Lord moment where, you know, God takes over your body and your mind and you wake up from this like trance. You're like, what happened? And everyone's like, whoa, you spoke the words of God. It's never been like that. It's always been very much a relationship, same as a relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
The longer I know Danae, the more I understand her, the closer I become to her, and the better we communicate. And it's the same with God.
Yeah.
As my journey with God has grown, I've grown in hearing his voice more. And yeah, so it's been a very natural, very kind of, in a way, easy and simple.
Yeah.
And for me, stepping out in that right from the beginning was very much a case of, you're praying for someone or you're praying for a certain situation and you ask God, okay, God, do you have feelings around this thing? Do you have an opinion? What do you want to say to this person? In the same way, if Danae and I watch the movie and I say, oh, what do you think about this movie? Just very much like I have access to God and God has access to me.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 12, I'll just pick out a little piece here. It says, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things.
Wow.
After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit?
Yeah.
So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his spirit, the spirit of God. And then it goes on to say, but we did not receive the spirit of the world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. and we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. He shares his Spirit with us, and he shares his thoughts with us. He shares his opinions with us. And it's a really, it's a beautiful picture of relationship. And I think, you know, that reality of just saying, okay, God, what do you think? And something that, that both Danae and I have really experienced over the years is that God has an opinion about pretty much everything and everyone. You know, and I think people have this misconception that prophecy is this sort of once every now and then moment where God reveals some kind of big truth that then people share, and that does happen.
Yeah.
There are big moments in prophecy, but for me it's more about God sharing his heart for people in situations.
So just to go with that, I mean, you, both of you could answer. Kind of to ground level, like, so I think the key thing is that we grew up in church with, I didn't really, but I kind of did, it was in a Baptist church, you know, but it's having that understanding, I think, also of scripture is key.
Yeah.
Because we can talk and say, okay, well, God spoke to me this, but it will never go against his written word, which is authored by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that's a check? I mean, I'm trying to go at different levels here. So we've got people who are kind of walking with God for a while and be able to quickly discern, but then there's also others who are new, like, you know, just trying to maybe just talk.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people will say like, oh, you know, you need to check these things against scripture. And obviously that can be tricky if someone says like, oh yeah, I felt God say that, you know, he has a big plan for you. Yeah. In Australia, because there isn't going to be a scripture that talks about Australia. So it's all about, I think it's checking things against theology and checking things against truth.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's meant by
and
that.
The heart of God.
And the heart of God, exactly. So God will never go against what he, the truth that he speaks.
Yeah.
So God will never say, I feel like you need to divorce your wife.
Yeah.
So to speak, you know, if you're in a happy marriage and everything's going well, and then, oh, I just felt like God say I must divorce you. Like that's, that for me is, that would be a giant red flag. If someone said that to me, if someone gave me a prophetic word that God was saying that, I'd be like, no, that's not true.
Go murder that guy. No.
Exactly. You know, and so in that respect, I think it's definitely like, you know, the word of God is his word. It's his truth. And so it's really about making sure that all of the prophetic words that you're receiving, given that kind of stuff, if they truly are from God, you have nothing to worry about.
And then also like your spirit also will pick up, I think as well, if something feels right or something feels wrong.
Yeah.
So if someone gives you a prophetic word and it doesn't sit right with you, you don't have to keep it. You literally can go, thanks so much, and move on.
Yeah, that's good.
If someone says something to you, it's not anything set in stone.
Yeah.
I suppose it's that, like we see in part. Like,
Exactly.
So you're going to get, they may get kind of the flavor of the story right, but I've had so many people come and give me words, and I'm like, no, that's not confirming what's in my heart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it just doesn't make sense. And I think the key thing is, like you said, to just shift it aside, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are afraid of stepping into the prophetic because they don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
They're so terrified of getting a word a little bit wrong that they'd rather not step into it at all.
We've all have gotten it wrong.
Exactly. Everyone.
So everyone, how would you practically approach someone? So say like, even on Zoom, someone's sitting in a community group, like how would you approach that? Just even language-wise, maybe Danae.
Well, one, I mean, if it's Zoom, if it's community group, I would really recommend the community group to open that up as in during a time of prayer, when people are asking for prayer, is a perfect time to communicate prophetic words. Like, hey, Bruce, I just have a word for you that, you know, has been, I feel like God's placed on my heart. You just kind of, it's the posture you bring it with.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
I have a feeling. Let me know what you think.
Yeah,
you know, bringing it that way so the person can weigh it up.
Yeah.
You
always offer it.
It's an offering. That's it's not a written word in stone.
Yeah, I think everything in our relationship with God in Christianity, there's two parts to it. There's God and there's man.
Yeah.
And this is just the way God has made his creation, that he has this partnership, and that means that we have a part to play in it, which means that, and we aren't perfect, God is perfect, so God will never speak an error to us, But we are imperfect, and so we do our best to communicate that effectively. And sometimes we're not going to get it perfectly right, and that's okay. Yeah. And I think we have to kind of, you know, reevaluate what we consider to be a successful word.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of people say, well, if you're wanting to step into prophecy, you have to be 100% accurate completely all the time, or you know, you'd rather don't say anything. And I would say, well, no, it depends how you bring it. So if you're bringing it from a place of love, if your goal is for the individual to feel loved and for the person to feel like God has spoken to them and communicated to them, if that's your main goal, that this person actually meets with God in some way, then the word doesn't have to be so specific that everything completely perfectly makes sense.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like I know both Danae and I have received words. We even had a prophetic word about us having a child. And the person prophesied that over us, and we fell pregnant within 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
And we'd been trying for a while, but the person prophesied that it would be a boy.
Yeah.
And so...
So your boy's still coming.
Yeah. So, and this person's incredibly accurate. Normally, they're really, really accurate. But we didn't say, oh, you know, we're not going to hold on to the promise of God for us falling pregnant because...
Yeah.
Or, oh, it was completely wrong. It was just like, no, he was feeling from God that this is what was coming for us. Mm-hmm. And he got the gender of it wrong.
Yeah, it's a 50-50
gamble. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's key in the early stages of, like, learning the prophetic gift is, like, what you don't prophesy dates, mates, or birth dates. You know what I mean? Something like that, you know?
Yeah, what's it? Dispatch... Match and hatch.
Try to stay away from those.
Yeah. Death, birth, and marriage, which is interesting because I've had a marriage one and a birth one.
So don't go dishing those out easy unless you really feel like, especially not the death one. No one should ever. That's
off the table. That's the opposite of prophecy. That's just the opposite of
heart
of
life.
God. Exactly.
Life.
So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that was good. It's awesome. I think for both of you, just practically, how do you guys hear the voice of God, like, kind of day to day, but also for other people? Is it in pictures? Is it in words?
It's interesting. Bruce and I were just talking about this, but we often think of hearing the voice of God as something that we do with our ears.
Yeah.
But often it's actually our thoughts.
Yeah.
Some people actually get to hear God audibly. I've never
Please
had that
Jesus
happen.
Yeah.
I think I've had that once, and I would have woke me up in the middle of the night.
Okay,
always.
Well, you're part of the special group.
Yeah. We're just average.
We're just average. We're not the prison star. But it's something that is through your thoughts and your mind. At least that's how I feel. I think you would agree. So often, I mean, I feel like I see a range of things. I think in the beginning, I often got one word.
Yeah.
Mm. Which was kind of like, God, where am I supposed to go with this? But then as I would pray or speak to that person, God would fill in the rest of the blanks.
Yeah.
Then from getting one word, I would get a picture of something. And it can be as simple as something like, man, I just see this really peaceful river coming through and I see this tree and I feel like God is saying, you know, and then you just expound. Sometimes you'll know exactly what it is when it comes to you, and sometimes as you speak it will come.
That's good.
And like you said previously, sometimes, like, you know, if you've hit the nail on the head when people start crying as well. I remember I had a word for someone, and it was a picture of their mother in a garden, and she was picking a certain type of flower, let's say it was daisies, and she started crying and she said, my mom's passed away, her favorite flower was daisies.
Wow.
And it was just this comfort. God was just giving her this comfort.
Amazing.
And so even if it's such a simple picture, it can mean so much to someone. And then I feel like even now I also get just the sense of something. Sometimes I'll just sense that person needs joy, you know? And that might be a little bit of discernment as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like the prophecy as well goes with that, so you can sense what's going on with someone. I once had, I love stories, so forgive me, but I once had
it's American, it's standard.
We once were in a community group, and I had this song come to mind, and we'd already given this one particular girl a few words, and people had shared a few words and it had gone great, and then I had this song come to mind, and it was from Elmo's World, and I was like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I'm not going to share this. But I just, it was persistent. I was like, and you know, it's God when it's persistent and mm-hmm. it's like weighing on you and your yeah. heart maybe starts racing and you start getting hot and you're like, oh, no, I'm just going to just ignore it. Anyway, so I ended up singing the Elmo song to everyone and said, I feel like God had this word for you. Turns out she works with children and they love Elmo.
Yeah.
So she related to Elmo. Elmo made sister.
Yeah.
And then after I did it, after I was almost obedient in sharing that, yeah. God said, I'm going to release joy over this woman.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then he did. And it was brilliant. And she said from weeks after that, she said, people keep on coming up to me saying, you've changed. There's so much joy around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so even something as silly as a song coming to mind, yeah. God can use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think Danae's totally where she said that sometimes it'll just be one kind of thing, like a picture or a feeling or a thought will pop in your head while you're praying for someone. And often you can ask God when you're like, okay, God, what are you saying or what do you mean? And is there something more you want to say about this? And sometimes you don't get anything more. And then it's a case of saying, okay, I'm going to do this in faith. And so Danae did that. And it was amazing. I remember that perfectly. It's an incredible example. But then you do it in faith. You say, okay, cool. I'm just going to be obedient to what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But you offer it to the person. You say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. You know, take it, don't take it, whatever. Yeah. But this is what I'm thinking. And as you start speaking so often, 9 times out of 10, God, then you've almost stepped out in faith. You've stepped out in obedience. And that's when God starts to speak. Yeah. It's almost like this conduit opens up.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, cool. Like, take that step of faith. Be obedient in this thing. And trust me that I'm going to speak. Yeah, so I would say just practically, someone said to me when I first started stepping out in this, if you're praying for someone and you're in a moment where you are asking God, if you think something, it's probably God.
Yeah.
Someone said that to me. They were like, it's probably God.
Yeah.
And I was like, but how can you say that? Like, God is this massive being out there somewhere. Like, what do you mean it's probably God? And interestingly enough, 90-something% of the time, you're praying for someone and you feel something in your heart, and if you offer it to the person in love and you submit it to them and say, it's what I'm feeling, it speaks to them. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And as you continue to do that, your faith builds and you trust God more and more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Danae, I just wanted to ask you, could you just share your story of how you received the gift of speaking in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
What it's meant to you, and I might just follow up with a few little scriptures off that.
Yeah, sure. So I think I desired the gift of tongues when I was around 19 and 20. I didn't get it. I was a little bit sore about that. The Holy Spirit. I was a little bit bummed. My sister actually got it at a youth camp when I was asking for it. And then she got it without even asking. I just felt like, God, what about me? Like, don't you love me too? And so it was actually a little bit of a sore topic for me. I remember later on then when first and I moved to Dubai and it would come up in conversation or I was mentioned to preach or something and I would actually cry about it. Because I just felt, I don't know, I guess I felt a little bit of rejection from not receiving the gift of tongues when I did ask for it. So I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm good with God and Jesus, but, you know, I'll just put you on the shelf, you know, you're in a bad corner. But then Star was actually doing a kind of woman's study around the gifts of the Spirit, and I think it was like every Wednesday morning or something.
Yeah.
And I was going to that, and I think one of the last ones she did was the gift of tongues.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it really just softened my heart all the way up to that point. Towards the Holy Spirit. And then when I came to one of the last meetings on the gift of tongues, my heart was really softened towards the Holy Spirit. And I remember just asking in just quietly to myself as Star was speaking about it towards the end of the meeting, I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, like, if you like want to gift it to me, sorry, that's right.
No, that's okay, it's cute.
If you want to give it to me, like, I'm asking for it.
Mm.
And just a really humble approach. I was like, if you could just give me one word, just give me one word. And immediately a word came to mind, obviously not an English word. People often, when I share this story, people often ask me, what was the word? I'm like, I don't even remember now. If you think of like, what kind of tongues do you speak? You can't like bring them to mind.
Yeah.
It only comes really when you're speaking in tongues. So anyways, it gave me a word and I just kept on repeating it over and over in my head because I didn't want to forget it. I was like clinging to this word.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got into my car after the meeting was over, I was like, all right, here goes nothing. I'm just going to speak it out loud. spoke it, and I spoke it out a lot again and again and again, and I just started weeping.
Yeah.
In that moment, I just felt like the love of the Father, like I've never felt before, before that time. It was just overwhelming, and I just cried and cried and cried and just said, thank you, Jesus, for this. Like, thank you, Holy Spirit. And then from that place, it just overflowed into a few more words, if you want to call it that. But the gift of tongues just evolved into more, to where it was something that it's hard to imagine with not having it today, because it is such a beautiful connection with the Father. Through the Holy Spirit, that it is, like Paul speaks about how it is, it's not really, unless there's an interpreter, it's not really for the whole body, it's for you and your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just a really beautiful time and something, a beautiful gift to be desired, I think.
I think it's amazing because the scripture says, yes, it's pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. And I think the key thing is that you, Some people will get the gift of tongues. I think it's open to all, but some people will get it, some people won't. And I think that's the key thing, you know what I mean? It's like that you desire, so clearly God put something inside of you to pursue him, to see this manifest, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does say here that the person who prophesies speaks to other people for their strength and encouragement and consolation, but the person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up. But the one who prophesies builds up the church, you know? And it's, so I think prophecy is hearing from God for others, and then whereas speaking in tongues like this is to actually build you up, you know? And I've seen it in my life. Like, I can't remember, my mom, I remember, I was probably about 8 years old, sitting in a car, my mom went to some crazy Toronto blessing meeting, and she came back, and she's like, come on, you're going to get tongues, and I didn't really get it, and it kind of happened years later. I was probably about 14, 15, and Mike Pilavachi actually just kind of spoke us through how do we actually receive this gift. Subsequently walked away from God, came back, but even when I came back to church and stuff, it was still there, you know? So it's an amazing thing. And I would say for those at home, just ask God like the native, you know, like just desire it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then just the last thing we're going to get onto, mainly around Bruce, but just the motivational gifts, Bruce, prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, organizing, and mercy. What areas have you seen in this worked out in your life, like in serving in the church? Because I know you're servant-hearted, you've been serving in all areas, you've been on staff, had to play out of position in some ways, in many ways. Just how have you seen that work out, and then compared to the areas that you're naturally gifted or spiritually gifted?
Yeah, I think I don't know how people can live a fulfilling Christian life without the Holy Spirit empowering us. I just feel like you would burn out. You know, because not that living a Christian life is a horrible, difficult thing, but because it requires more from you than what is just already naturally inside of you. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we might not naturally be good at. I'm not naturally good at admin or organizing things, and I've had to lead. I've had to lead different teams, and I've had to be involved in all kinds of things. And I've done it with a joyful heart, knowing that it's actually serving God's people. But the Holy Spirit empowers you to do those things. So if it's administration, you know, and you find yourself in that area, often you'll feel like, I don't have what it takes, but then the Holy Spirit leads you into that. He empowers you, he gives you that energy, and he speaks to you through that process, he guides you through that process. And so that's one area I'm not naturally good at. An area that I didn't know that I was naturally good at, or maybe I was never naturally good at it, but I do feel like it's a gift that God's given me, is in the area of teaching.
Yeah.
I just, over the years, I've just grown to love it. I've just love sharing the way I see things, and, you know, around scripture and teaching around the prophetic and all this kind of stuff. It's something that it's clearly something that God has given me to do, because I never really pushed into it before. I never tried to be any kind of a teacher or anything. It's just sort of just welled up inside of me and came out. So I do feel like it's a gift.
I'm just going to add to that. I think what people don't know about you, and you'll probably laugh at this, is that Bruce will have the most, we're talking on any subject, and he'll be like, oh, did you hear about this? And he's got like some random fact. So yeah, I think part of the teaching gift is that thing of being able to recall, like, just sometimes not random information, but just you're able to recall stuff, bring it to light. And we've definitely seen that kind of grow, even you being part of City Lights, you know, like every time you preach, it has like that teaching angle. It's this, slightly different to the way I approach things, and I think we need all of these sides in the body, you know. So
yeah,
cool. I think let's just pray together.
Yeah,
because we're going to be kind of seeing these gifts unwrapped. And I was actually just thinking that it was the twins' first birthday, and someone gave him a box, and you unwrap the gift, and that thing can sit inside that box forever and not fulfill its potential. Currently, it's fulfilling its potential outside as one of those little water things that the kids are playing with, and it's become a source of relief for Starla and I, just to have the kids doing stuff. But I think the gifts are like that, you know? Like, God can be stirring something, but if you didn't eagerly desire tongues, would you have walked into it? If you didn't eagerly desire prophecy or wanted to see teaching? So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to just start putting desire in people's hearts. So, so Father, first of all, I thank you for Bruce and Danae. I thank you for the gift they are to City Lights and to the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you release them into the more that you have for them. Father, and I just really pray as we pray over the City Lights community, that word that we must eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. I pray, Lord God, for desire to come into people's hearts, knowing that whatever you've given them, whatever's sitting there, it could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gifts or whatever it is, Lord God, it's there for the common good. It's there for building up. It's there for seeing the church come into its fullness and being built up. So I pray that over City Lights, Lord God, I pray that even over this time of online and Zoom, which is not going to last forever. There's a time where it's gonna come to an end. But as we even start to practice and live out these gifts now, so when we come back together, God, there'll just be this incredible dynamic of what you want to do amongst us as a people. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.